Exodus chapter 10, and I want to remind you again about tonight will be just a wonderful night, especially if you love the hymns of the church. This will be a night with Dr. Wood that we will just celebrate singing some of the great songs and the stories of the songs of that have made our worship so special through the years. Exodus chapter 10, and take your outline out if you will, please. We're taking several weeks on the subject of why I love my church. And you realize whenever we go through Scripture and look at a lot of the passages, well, any passage that we look at in God's Word, it's written to the church, not a church, but written to the church. And so we make application of these things, excuse me, having some allergies today, but we make application of this into of obviously our church today. And so far we've looked at, I love my church because it's where I find true family. And you know, we talked about that day where a lot of people have family backgrounds that are quite dysfunctional on earth. And whenever they come into the kingdom of God, when they come in, much like the video that we just watched, that lady not only provided food and a job provided and a way to provide for her family, her son, but also you recognize as she comes into the body of Christ, she joins in the family of God. And that day I shared an email from one of our dear, dear ladies here at Central, and she had gone through incredible loss in her life recently and wrote me the email, and she made a statement that day. And this woman has a wonderful family even around her right here in Springfield, but she said, Central has really become central to my life. And she was talking about relationships. She was talking about the family of God. Second, I love my church because it's where I encounter God with others. And we talked about the priority of our worship in song and the priority of a prayer, the priority of the Word of God, and how if we don't encounter God, then we have no reason to meet here. Our desire, my desire, every time we gather is that God shows up, that the presence of God is here, like the choir just saying, just mentioning the name of Jesus, that if we have the presence of Jesus, how many of you know that is what will make Central Assembly distinct? That we worship Him and His presence is here, and that's what we desire. Third, we looked at I love my church because it's where I give and receive encouragement. And all three of these messages came out of that wonderful passage, Hebrews chapter 10. And as we looked at a word there in the Greek, we realized that encouragement can mean so many meanings in that Greek word. It means presence, where we encourage one another by our very presence together. We encourage one another by helping one another. We encourage one another by exhorting and encouraging one another. And we encourage one another by comforting one another. And we're commanded in Hebrews chapter 10, encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. Then last week, we went to 1 Corinthians 12. And we looked at the body of Christ, that every one of us has a body, and the different parts of the body, all the way from the hands and the feet to the eyes to the ears, as Paul makes an analogy, and how part of the body of Christ is that we are significant as we share together. And so we celebrate. It is where no one is insignificant, and everyone has a God-given purpose. It's one reason I love Central Assembly. Today I've turned us to a key moment early in the history of the Israelites as they are journeying out of Egypt, an early journey to the promised land. When God came to Moses, he said, Moses, I want you to go. And we saw it repeatedly that Moses went and he said the same thing, but he said, I want you to go to Pharaoh. And you say, Pharaoh, let my people go. And there was a reason that God said, you tell him to let my people go. It's found in Exodus 4, 23, 7, 16, 8, 1, 8, 20, 9, 1, 9, 13, and each time the command was, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go for a specific reason. We come here to chapter 10, and by this point, already 7 of the 10 plagues have come upon Egypt. And so the judgment of God is bombarding them. The Nile had turned to blood. The frogs, the gnats, and the flies had swarmed. The livestock had died. The boils had broken out upon their bodies. And still, Pharaoh would not relent. And so once again, he says, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. And we pick it up here, verse number 3. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may serve me or worship me. There's your reason. That his chosen people, the children of Father Abraham centuries before, that they would go to that mountain and they would worship their God. And how would they worship him? God provided a detailed plan of not only the way to worship him actively and in sacrifice of worship, but that they were to build what was called the tabernacle. And God gave them a detailed plan of how to build and construct this house of worship. And so now, if you'd move in your handheld or your Bible to chapter 35, Israel has now miraculously been delivered. They passed through the Red Sea. They've looked back, of course. Charlton Heston's held out that rod, and the waters have poured back over the Egyptians. And they come now to the third month at Mount Sinai. There they receive the Ten Commandments, the law. There God gives them a covenant, and they say, "We'll be your people." And he says, "I will be your God." And there they're told that God wants them to bring an offering for that structure, a place of worship. Now, Moses comes back down the mountain. Remember, he's already done this one time before, and it was not pretty. But he came down the mountain, and they're worshiping around a golden idol, an image of a calf, and that takes him back to the worship of Egypt, and that's what they had known. And this guy Moses, we don't know where he went off to for 40 days and 40 nights. And so Moses threw the tablets down in disgust and concern, and he and God have an encounter over what to do with these people, Israel. He goes back up another 40 days and 40 nights, and he returns with those tablets, and pick it up here in chapter 35, verse 4. Moses then said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever's of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold and silver and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twisted linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its hooks and its frames, its bars, its pillars and its bases." And Moses goes on to list all the various parts of the tabernacle. Drop down to verse number 20, please. "Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses." So they all go back to their tents. And then verse 21, "And they came." So they come back, "everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him. And they brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. And so they came. Both men and women, all who were of a willing heart, brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets, all sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. And everyone who possessed blue or purple or scarlet yarns or fine linens or goat's hair or tanned ram skins or goat skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's contribution. And everyone who possessed acacia wood of any use in the work brought it. And every skillful woman spun with her hands, and they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. All the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skill spun the goat's hair." How many know how to spin goat's hair? That'd be creepy. Let's read on. Verse 27. "And the leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastpiece and the spices and the oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a freewill offering to the Lord." Then Moses pulls together several men that are gifted and anointed with their skills needed to build the tabernacle. And I assure you, I would not have been part of that group. Chapter 36, verse 3. "And they," those men, "received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning." Now picture this. "So that the craftsmen that they were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing. And they came to Moses and they said," quote, "the people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." How many of you know there's never been a preacher on planet Earth since Moses to say those words? But aren't they beautiful words? So Moses gave command. And the word was proclaimed throughout the camp, let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Wouldn't that be an incredible day at Central Assembly? I would love to see this sanctuary be moved forward from its present appearance. How many of you would like that? Oh, I'm so glad you're with me on that. See, this was built in 1991, and it looks like it was built in 1991. So if anyone would like to give a great offering today, we will change and renovate, and we'll just update what you're sitting on. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Not even in my notes, I felt led to mention that. Let's move on. For the material that they had brought was so sufficient to do all the work and more. What a day. Yes, I want to talk to you about giving. Because giving is as fundamental to you if you are a follower of Christ as any other activity that you will do. As a matter of fact, it is part of your worship. And it's fundamental to who you are. And as you're going to see today. And this story provides, it's an amazing story for us to talk about giving, isn't it? It's awesome. Simply, the people are giving so that God can be worshiped effectively. And when you boil down why we give our tithe, why we give our offerings, our free will offerings, our offerings of missions, whatever it is, as we give, when you boil it all down, we give on this earth so that God will be worshiped in heaven. It's the very same principle. It's slightly different, but it's the very same principle. And it's not just to build buildings, but in any way that we give to the work of the Lord, we are giving that God might be worshiped. All this was a tent, various instruments and all the parts that would go in all the incredible, some of it very elaborate because of the gold and the silver, etc. But it was just a portable tent that they would uproot and move time and time again over 40 years of time. And the Levites had their role, and then the priests would do their duties. All it was a portable tent. Later, they would build an extravagant, unbelievable temple as David designed and then his son Solomon built. But most important of all today is that this was being built just the way God designed it to be built. And in almost a shocking way, the Israelites pull through. I mean, we're pretty hard on those guys, aren't we? And you think about it, probably the golden calf had something to do with them getting it right a few days later because they had really blown it a few days earlier. But when Moses says bring an offering, they bring an amazing, stunning offering that day. And we learn from them today. We learn, number one, to give obediently. The whole passage begins with those words. This is what the Lord has commanded. Enough said. They were to give because God said to give. You are to give because God has told you to give. There are all kinds of reasons to give, but the greatest one is to give out of obedience. So whether you're talking about here a free will offering, it's an act of obedience. Whether you're talking about the tithe, it's an act of obedience. Whether you talk about our one day offering next Sunday, it's an act of obedience. But you say, well, where does it say I have to give to Convoy of Hope? It doesn't say that, but it does say in the Word of God that we are to give to help the poor. And so we obey God next Sunday. But first and foremost to any of our giving is an obedience to the Lord. And out of it comes all kinds of other reasons why we give. We give because it's good for us. We give because it reminds us that everything I have comes from God. We give because we want to meet the needs of others. We give because we don't want to cling too tightly to things in this earth. We give because when we get to heaven one day, we want to have something waiting there for us. And Jesus said, if you give to God, you build up treasures in heaven. So go for it. Be rich in eternal things, heavenly things. There's all kinds of reasons, but the bottom line that we give is we give to give obediently to God. Second, we give, as they did, to give willingly. You probably noted it, verse 21, everyone whose heart stirred him, whose spirit moved him. Verse 22, all who are of a willing heart. Verse 26, the women who were willing. Verse 29, all of the Israelite men and women who were willing brought their offering. When we give, it needs to be willing. And you may be here today and you say, but you know, my heart really isn't that stirred and my spirit isn't really that moved to give. Okay, but understand something. Anytime you read the word of God, when a word is used repeatedly, it is important. God is trying to reach you with a message from his word for you. And so when you read that repetition, stop yourself and back up and start circling in your Bible or highlighting, underlining that word that keeps coming up. And here we see it over and over again, that they gave willingly. The person who doesn't want to give has a heart issue between them and God. We learn that in Scripture. God wants us to open up our hands and willingly give. Because strangely enough, the things of this earth, money and anything that money buys, whatever we drive, whatever we live in, whatever we build, whatever we hold, whatever we possess, strangely enough, it just seems to entangle our hearts. And so it is so good for you to give willingly. And you find that throughout the Word of God. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians, to give willingly. See, why is it so important? Because if you give and your will is not behind the gift, you might as well keep your gift. God doesn't need it. Honestly, he'll get it somewhere else. But when you give willingly, it's something about your heart. Your heart is keeping soft toward the poor. Your heart is keeping soft toward God. Your heart is keeping right. And you give willingly. Thirdly, we need to give honestly. And we see that in these Israelites here. And by honest giving, I mean an acknowledgement. It's admitting something, and until you get to this basic premise of giving honestly, you really aren't giving. Say, what do I mean? Well, those Israelites, they're fresh out of Egypt. I mean, and they have just gone from being slaves to where now they're free. But more than that, they've gone to having nothing to where now they have a lot. They're wealthy. Say, well, how did that happen? Did they save their goods and just kind of build it in their slavery? Who are you kidding? Pharaoh wouldn't give his slaves anything. He just fed them so they'd work harder. They were crying out in bondage. They were going, God, please deliver us. And when God did deliver them, what did God do? He predisposed the favor of God upon them so that the Egyptians' hearts would be open. And before Passover night, they ran around to all their friends, or not friends, their captors, the people that they served, and they said, could you give me your gold and your silver and your fine linens and your silk and your wood, your acacia, all of this? And they just gave it to them freely. That's a miracle. But see, God knew what he was doing. And those people who left with nothing, just before they left with everything. And God told them to go and go to that mountain. And they've come there now, and they're standing there at Mount Sinai. And I think it's a major reality check for those that were willing to give, whose hearts were willing to give. Because God says, okay, now it's time. 3 months in, I now want an offering. And people started moaning, I bet, huh? But you know, there were some, it was a reality check. They knew everything they had come from the Egyptians, but actually from God. And so at that moment, those whose hearts stirred them, I guarantee you, they started thinking and they realized, hey, I had nothing just 3 months ago. And now look what I have in my tent. And so they went back to their tents and they came and they gave honestly because they realized it all came from God. They were instantly, it's like they had just won the lottery. Don't play the lottery unless you're going to give money for the building. Don't give. I'm just kidding. I've never given anything to God that he didn't give to me in the first place. I'm 52 years of age, and when I was 4 or 5, somewhere in there, I started taking that nickel, putting it in an envelope. I still remember the day. I remember where I was sitting in Olney, Illinois, and my dad pastoring there, and I was sitting in church, and the usher patted me when he looked at my little nickel in the envelope, and I felt that I was being patronized. However you feel that as a child, I don't know. I just felt, that he was patronizing me as he kind of patted me, like, look at that cute little nickel in there. That cute little nickel has become whatever as I've given my whole life to the Lord. And I've given tithe, missions, faith promises. I can't wait for next week to give in the one day offering. You better believe it. But it's a principle of realizing that everything I've given, I wish this week as I went through this, I thought, isn't there something that I can say, oh, there's something that I gave that God didn't give me in the first place. And wouldn't you know it, there's nothing. There's nothing. It's always returning to God out of what he's given to us. And by the way, we were once slaves in Egypt, weren't we? And he saved us through the water, didn't he? And then he provides everything we need, doesn't he? Including so that he may be worshiped. We need to give. We need to give. It's almost like our children. You know, when they're young, and they're about 4 or 5, whatever, when they give us a birthday gift, how many of you know that you paid for your own birthday gift? You know, isn't it kind of funny how that works? And you just say, oh, thank you so much. But you're asking your wife, how much did you spend on this, honey? You know, as they hand it to you. And then one day they get a part-time job, and what do? Then it feels a little bit better, and they love to give and to give to their parents, and they bring something. And our 3 girls, I remember those days, and it was very special, but I still realize as I received that gift, and I appreciate it so very much, but I also realize I'm feeding you, you're living under my roof, I pay the mortgage, I pay the electricity, but they're still giving a gift, and it means something. Then they get older. Now for us, 2 of 3 are married, and now they're on their own, quote unquote. And how many know they keep giving, and then you keep giving to them out the back door still? How many know what I'm talking about? It's like it's never ending. This is a never ending game, is it? Same way with God, isn't it? Same way with God. Matter of fact, he delights when we say, I'm giving generously and willingly and obediently to you. And he just smiles, but he realizes that 10% we're giving, the other 90% he's given to us. And if we go beyond that in a free will offering, and here's one day of my work for the poor, and we do it out of a good heart, he says that's wonderful, but he knows he gave you that work. He knows he gave you that one day of salary. That's why we need to give honestly to God. It all comes from him. We also model, or their model for us here, that we need to give individually. And I like this about the story. It takes us back to last week's message. For giving is more than silver, gold, our talents and our abilities. But sure enough, where did everything come from? Everything comes from God. So now we've got Bezalel and Aholiab, and we've got all these other skilled people, and all of them, it says, in Aholiab and Bezalel, it says the Spirit of God was within them. And it made them craftsmen, and it made them teachers. So these men were amazingly gifted, and so they're teaching others, and then there are other skilled people, and then you have these skilled women that are skilled to be able to spin the beautiful fabrics and to spin the gold hair. So it's not just money. Now we're looking at ability and talents, and everything it is comes from God. And as we saw last week, the New Testament truth, everyone here has a gift. Use it to serve one another and God. No one's left out in the body of Christ. So we bless out of what God has given us individually, and we bring it together. And here's the beauty of it. We then give collectively. This is what's so perfect about this story. It's like watching an anthill or watching a farm, you know, when it's encased and you watch and how industrious they are. But they're coming from every direction. And that's what it's like. The Israelites are just moving from their tents, and they're all coming, and they're bringing gold and silver and animal hides and linen and fabric and goat hair and jewels and stones, and still others bringing their talents. What a picture. Everyone is doing something. A matter of fact, verse 23 says, everyone who could brought the following. Verse 24, everyone who could brought. Verse 25, everyone who could brought. And so they just kept bringing. This is what I love about my church. I love my church because I can do more with others than I can with myself. That's the beauty of giving. See, many of you don't realize that every day over at Weaver Elementary School, the children there, when they're of good behavior and have somehow made marks with the teacher, something, they receive a ticket or tickets, and they go to what's called the store. And the store operates with dolls and toys and clothing and school supplies, basketballs, footballs, even necessities of life like toilet paper and cleaning supplies, even some food I notice on the shelf, spaghetti sauce and peanut butter and things like that. And the teacher told the staff that some of these children, they will use their tickets that they've earned with good character and good decisions and choices they've made, and they will go in there and they know the needs of their family. And rather than a basketball, they'll go home with toilet paper. They'll go home with peanut butter sometimes. Where's the store come from? U.S. government? Nah. State government? No. Our taxes, city taxes? No. Comes from you. Comes from Central Assembly. It's a collective thing. Pastoral staff went over there the start of the year, and we've done so much with Weaver, and every year we give the children their Christmas gifts, but you know what? We went over for that day and set up that store, and then Pastor David and Anthony and Community Engagement Ministries, they are keeping it stocked all year long, and those children will go down there, and it's through your giving, and you didn't even know how we're spending the money you gave. But doesn't that make your heart feel good this morning? The PTA president, the parent of the PTA over at Boyd Elementary, he came to us months ago, called, and well, here was the outdoor celebration. Just take a moment real quick, like, and turn it up so we can hear it.
Next round of fundraising letters went out. We sent one to our good friends at Central Assembly over here. And I met by phone the pastor's secretary or assistant. Her name is Sharon. Great person to talk to. Here's how the phone conversation went. She said, "Brian, we'd love to take part in that." And when the conversation starts like that, you're about to hear no, but I didn't. She said, "But we've already divvied up our money for the year for all our donations. But you know what? This weekend at church, let me go talk to Sunday school and see what we can do." Weekend goes by. Next week comes up. I get on the phone with Sharon. She says, "Brian, we just raised you $1,000 in one Sunday school class." Thank you, Central Assembly. We love you.
They were building a fence to keep those children safe in Springfield. How many think the kids at Boyd Elementary need that fence? And so we had given already. We had been asking for offerings for different things, various things. And when I received that call, what do we do now? And the staff talked about it, and we thought, well, Pastor Mike, go to some Sunday school classes. Sunday school classes pool together what we can give individually and then collectively, and that $1,000 spoke again to Boyd Elementary, letting them know that we love our community. Who gave to that fence? You did. Thank you, Sunday school classes. Every second Saturday, people stream into our doors. And yesterday, as I headed to the funeral on this side, everything was marked and divided well so that we could have the 100-plus families come through on this side to receive and go through and select the food that they need from our monthly food pantry. And on this side was a precious funeral with the Spillman family. But twice, both coming and going, I just stood and I just watched as I watched the people come through, and many of you serving in the food pantry. Remember last month? Wasn't it beautiful? It was another one of those moments like ants that we all came to church that morning. But Pastor David and Anthony said, "Let's bring fresh fruits and vegetables." And we took the bags, and many of you went to your garden. And if you're like Carl and I, we went to our garden, which is called a grocery store. And we went there, but we just loaded it up. And you know, it's just fun. It was fun. Remember, you know how those plastic peppers, the green, yellow, and green and red peppers in that plastic. You know that thing? Anyway, they're like beautiful. They're like perfect. They're like from heaven. I love the looks of those. They're packaged so well. And I remember when I put them into the bag, that's going to make somebody happy. They're going to get fresh produce. And David and Anthony said last month was just fun. And some of you are here today and you receive food from us every month. We are so glad you come here for spiritual food as well. We're thrilled to have you here. But we're even more happy that last month you were able to have some fresh fruits and vegetables. How about that day weeks ago that we took up the simplest offering in the world? But our Southern Missouri district was asking churches, would you take one Sunday and just ask everybody to give a dollar, that everybody can give a dollar. And it's so easy. And so we just asked, could everyone give a dollar? Could even an Evangel University student give a dollar? I loaned a few a dollar. But anyway, can we just give a dollar? You know, just kidding. So that week we sent in about $1,500. And I called the district or just texted Stan Welch this week, said, "Hey, how much are you guys up to?" They're up to $13,000 toward our camp. Isn't that wonderful? Just from giving a dollar. But see, when we give individually, and then you bring it all together, and it becomes collectively. And at that camp, at those altars this summer, Pastor Justin said, multiple of our little children, our elementary age, gave their hearts to the Lord, felt called to ministry, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Pastor Nick and Christian that are away with many of the youth this weekend on their retreat, I asked him, what happened at camp this summer? Multiple ones of our youth came back to the Lord. They recommitted their lives, baptized in the Holy Spirit, feeling a call to ministry. Do you think your dollar was worth it that day? You better believe it is. But when we all give collectively, look what God can do. I love my church because I can do more with others than by myself. And if you have your Bible, your hand held there, go back to 35 verse 5 again, and we'll close. But he said, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze. God gave a definition here, a prerequisite. He's not just looking for anybody, but he's looking for those with a generous heart. Do you think there might have been some in Israel that day that did not have a generous heart? You better believe it, because it's called humanity. It's just called this old sinful heart of ours. So he said, I'm looking for those that have a generous heart. See, I believe that spirit of Achan was already there. Many of you remember Achan's story. It comes along about 40 years later as they head in and they take that very first city. And what does Achan do? But he's back in his tent and he's hiding what he's taken, the spoils, when God had said, this first one is an offering for me. You bring it to me. Same principle here. So as they left Moses, as that verse said, and then the next verse they came back. Not everybody came back. I guarantee you there were some there, at least Achan's relatives probably. And they're back in their tent, and the minute they heard it, they were ducking and they were putting away and they were digging in the ground and putting the gold down in there and the silver. And every time they moved, they would dig again and they'd just put their treasure down in there. So nobody knew what they had. Not everybody had a generous heart. And God said, I want those that have a generous heart and I want them to give. Say, how could a slave not be willing to give some of his gold? Oh, it's easy. It's called avarice. It's greed. It's sin. When we have so much that God's given us and we just can't be released to willingly, generously give, it's because our hearts are just entangled in sin. Israel shows us to give generously here. And not just generously, but Deuteronomy 15, here's how Moses put it to the Israelites in the law. The law of God said, give generously to the poor and do so without a grudging heart. And then God will bless you because the poor will always be with you. And hear what he says. And so I want you to have an open hand to the poor, he says. So be generous, but did you note that as well? Generous, but also don't do it grudgingly. So not only to have a generous heart, but also to have a heart that is happy, right disposition, that we need to give happily to the Lord today. See, if you look at your outline there, and we'll close with the Amplified Bible. I love sometimes the way the Amplified will take the original language and just try to kind of help elaborate a little bit. Here it'll be the Greek as Paul is writing. And it's in your outline or to the screen, but look at it with me. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, that is, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. What a wonderful translation. Each man giving, but with the right heart. God wants you to give generously, but also wants you to give happily. So those old Israelites that we can be pretty hard on and kind of abusive of sometimes, those they got it right on month number 3. And they teach us to give obediently, willingly, honestly, individually, collectively, generously, and happily. And I say it's one reason that I love my church. Because through this church, I can do more with others than I can do with myself. Amen? Amen. Now, this is not a prime the pump for next week offering. Some of you went there a long time ago. Sorry, it's not. This was planned in the I Love My Church series months ago before I even realized that we were going to receive the one-day offering. But you know, the timing is very fitting, isn't it? Can you give a day of your salary to feed the poor? Convoy of Hope is being generous enough with us that rather than a Thanksgiving offering like we give every year, and last year we over 1,000 families were fed over through our Fusion Center, people coming and going. We joined with some other ministries last year to make it bigger than ever before. But Convoy, they're going to share back into their community because they're right up the street. Our community is their community. Isn't that neat what Hal and Dave and their team are willing to do? So as we give next week, it's not only for the poor of the world as a precious videos we've been watching the last few days, but also to be for the poor right near us, those that we can bless right in our own neighborhood. And I'm appreciative of that, but I want to encourage you to give. More than that, if you're here today and you say, you know, my spirit is not moved, my heart is not geared at all to be a giver, I'm going to ask you to ask God to help you become a giver. Because there's just nothing better in all the world. I reflected in my mind people that have given to me as I prepared this message this week. And I thought how thankful I am of people all my life that have given to me. There was a bachelor there in the church in Denison. Dad only pastored there for 2.5 years, and mom and dad didn't have 2 nickels to rub together. I remember the story my mom tells of my aunt and uncle coming through, and my mom was out, and she was clipping the clothes onto the clothesline, and tears were streaming down her cheek because my Aunt Joyce had left behind a $20 bill, and my mom and dad needed it so bad, but she didn't want to receive it, but she needed it, but she didn't want to receive it, but that it, they needed that. And she said she just cried, thanking God for that $20, but she was humbled and embarrassed to receive it from a visiting aunt and uncle. But you know, Charlie Murdsworth was his name, and every Christmas he would give a gift to my brother and me. Just because we were the PKs. It's not all that bad being PKs sometimes. Other times there's a lot of sacrifice to being a PK. But we were the pastor's kids. So Charlie, that single man, that church, that he was just a gentleman, wonderful guy. He gave us a gift the 2-3 Christmases we were there. But I thought all through my life, how many people have given to me? But you know what the joy is? I've given to others too. That's what the body of Christ is all about. And I promise you, we don't give to get, but I promise you this. As you give, it's crazy. You'll receive back. It's just bizarre, but that's the way God works. So if any of you here, my spirit resists this whole thought, then I want to encourage you to take your spirit to God and even evaluate a little bit what God's given you and ask him to change your heart toward giving. Because you know what? It could set you up. The 2015 could be the best year of your life if you started tithing, giving, just blessing the kingdom. You'll be surprised what God will do for you. We don't give to get, but I'm just saying it's a weird thing. It just works that way because God promises it in his word. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes today? No one looking about, if you will, just for a moment. And I'm going to ask you to do two things. First of all, I'm going to ask you just to stop for a moment and think of everything that God has given you. Matter of fact, would you just take a big breath so I can hear it? But can we all inhale together right now? Would you do that? Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, inhale. I didn't hear that very good. That scares me. We might have lost a few during this sermon here, okay? Could we have everybody inhale right now? Let's inhale together. Everyone, 1, 2, 3. Oh, please exhale. Come on, exhale. Okay. Do you realize that's a gift from God? Because the day will come. It's the best illustration in the world for you to think about giving is the day is going to come that you're going to give a final and your life will be done. Jesus was worried about that moment. Enough that he gave his life for you so that when you gave your last that you would go into his presence. We talked about it yesterday at the funeral. Claude Spillman was so ready to meet the Lord, been a faithful pastor for so many years, planned out his funeral. He said, guys, keep it short. They don't want to be there long. He had everything laid out perfectly for his family. And it was a beautiful celebration. But every one of us is going to have that moment. But Jesus said, give to eternal things on earth so that you build a treasure in heaven. And for so many, we build and we build and we keep and we hold right here. And we don't put anything on the other side. Well, when your last is heard by those standing around you, what are you going to have on the other side? The key is that you give now for eternity. Second thing I'm going to ask you to do is just open your hands up right there on your lap and then we'll close. But just open your hand up. Would you open your hand? Just kind of lay them open like mine are right here. Just open your hand. Because that's the terminology of Deuteronomy. That's the terminology of the Levitical law is that we are open-handed toward the poor and that the poor will always be around us. And so we need to be open-handed. So all of us here, as you open your hand, two things. Would you stop and just consider what God has placed in your hand? Think about it. That breath you just breathe, that's a gift. It might be your spouse today, or you may be widowed here today, but you can thank God for those years that you had. It might be your church. It might be relationships and friends. It might be finances. He has blessed you in an abundant way, whatever it is. Open that hand of yours and realize. Now, if you would, I'm going to ask you to clench it. And I'm going to ask you to clench it so hard, it's almost like just the muscles in your forearms get so tense. Just do like you're doing a curl right now. Okay, just clench that fist of yours. And think of what that feels like. Isn't it intense? And isn't it sad to think that many people live their life this way? I mean, they just hold on to everything. And you know what? In the end, when we die, whatever's in those hands is not going with us. And so really what we need to do, go ahead, open them up. It feels good to your fingers, doesn't it? Because it feels good to your heart. And just to keep your hands open, be open-handed toward the poor, be open-handed toward the church, be open-handed toward the missions, be open-handed toward our community, be open-handed, be open-handed, be open-handed. And you know what? You will never be without something to give in that hand of yours. I promise you that, because God will keep putting things in your hand if you'll just give. Father, the greatest gift you gave us is Jesus. And we thank you. Paul called it that indescribable gift as he talked about giving financially. So Lord, we thank you for the cross, and we thank you for eternal life. And if any of us are here, and if you're here today and you say, Jeff, my heart is so far from God, my heart is so lost, would you right now just pray this with me and just thank God for the best gift of all? Forget your finances, forget, and you may have all kinds of money today. Trust me, the greatest gift God ever gave you is his son, Jesus. And if you've never opened your heart to him, why don't you just pray this prayer with me right now? Just say, oh God, forgive me for my sins. I've lived my life my way, and I want to stop and open my heart to you. With all my friends today, I open my heart to you. Please forgive me and cleanse me of all of my sin, and give me life in Jesus Christ, who died for me. I was raised from the dead. I believe in him today. And I give my heart to you now. And everyone said amen. Now, would you pray this with me? Oh God, everything I have comes from you. My talent, my finances, life itself, you've given to me. So I've had an open hand from you, God. Thank you for filling it. Now help me to keep it open, that I might be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody who wants to be a giver, would you stand right now? You say, I want to be a conduit of God's goodness. I know you just want to leave anyway, so you better stand. But if you want to be a giver, amen. Listen, if you just prayed that simple little prayer of faith, the Bible says this, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's a little thing in the pocket right in front of you called New to Faith. If you would just take that out, fill it out, just to say, today was my day. It's perforated. Take your part. Go back to the Connect counter and let them know today was your day. We'd like to follow up with you because you just made the biggest decision of your life. But the majority, the huge majority of us here, we did that a long time ago. What we need to do is make our commitment to be givers today. I trust that you did, all right? Tonight is going to be an awesome night at 6 o'clock. We encourage you to be here. Go in God's blessing today and in his grace and favor. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. Have a wonderful day.